Blog Talk Radio.
Like Jesus says, that you have the poor always, but me you don't have always. So the Lord knows, amen, how to deliver the righteous, amen, from this ungodly world. And at his time, he's going to do that, amen. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. It's good for us to be here, amen, on today. And so, excuse me, this is a special show that we trying to line up on today. That is, last week we did the mystery of the church. I think we had 8 parts. Then we did the recap, and I forgot, my bad, to give out the call-in number. So this time, when I scheduled the show, I made sure I put the call number on the screen. So those that are searching, when they were seeing what was going to be the topic on the day, they could see the call-in number. So thank God for that. We have that there. And so just like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, our Blog Talk friends, our Blog Talk followers. Thank God for you. And that's what we do. Blog Talk Radio, we try to help and to promote one another. Some people have never heard of Blog Talk Radio, and they understand about blogging, and they understand about talking, but there's still people that don't know about Blog Talk Radio, this vehicle called Blog Talk Radio. They don't know about it. So we have to continue to spread the word on the behalf of this. I had heard mention of it a couple times because I listen to satellite radio. And sometimes certain guests, he would have someone on that had a Blog Talk Radio show, just like you're listening to on today, because there are many different people that have Blog Talk shows, not just religious, but there's some political, or some people don't, that all kinds of things that Blog Talk has the door that's open for people to have shows, and so they do. So we thank God for all of our, also for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, should you be new on Twitter. So that's why we always like to post. You follow us, people follow each other, or you follow someone else, they follow you, vice versa, like I said, follow each other. So you know what's going on, depends on what topic of interest you're able to glean from that. Should you desire to listen in, you can click on the link, and you got it. And then also our Facebook listeners, we thank God for you. All of our Facebook friends that are listening, thank God for you. Amen. So we thank God as we're able to bring what we call this radio broadcast on this hour from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the East Coast. We call it truth. So we thank God that you got to have the truth. And the word of the Lord is the truth when it is rightly divided. So thank God for that. Amen. For his word. Amen. Like Peter says, that the word of God liveth and abideth forever. So we know his word is quick. As the Hebrew writer said, that means it's alive. And it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the asunder to the divide of the dividing of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. Neither is there any creature that's not made manifest in his sight. But the writer goes on to say, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. God's word. Amen. So, you know, the writer in the psalm says, whither shall I go? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? It's 139th psalm. Said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He's talking about the grave. Amen. If I fly unto the uttermost parts, even there, you know, you're there. Darkness, wherever, doesn't matter. If darkness and light are alike to God. You can't hide from him. He's the omnipresent spirit. He's everywhere and every place. Amen. That means he's everywhere and every place. He's ever-present. Amen. He's omnipotent. That means he has all power. And he's omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. Just like we say from time to time, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So in the beginning, God. That's why Moses got the revelation in the 90th Psalm. Says, O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout generations, all generations. For the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world and the earth, he says, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he always was. That's far back as we can go in the beginning. We have to go to the origin of a thing. But God always was. He is. Amen. Just like he said in St. John 8:58, when they were talking about, you're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? Jesus made a profound statement and said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. So, yeah, he said, I am God. And there is none else. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So he's God. Amen. He knows all things. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. He already declared it. Amen. He's been there from ancient times. Things not yet done, the writer says in Psalm Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11. Things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. So we thank God for his word. So we need his word to be able to make it. So, and the mystery of the church, amen, that Apostle Paul is talking about, and everybody don't know who he is, amen, when he says, by grace are you saved through faith, that and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. We who? The church. The us, amen. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Us who? The church. That we who? The church should live holy. Be without him before blame in love. So you do. People so afraid of the word perfect when they keep saying nobody's perfect. Oh, yes, that's what the Bible told us to do. Jesus said, be perfect. Be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. When you understand biblical perfection, he is talking about maturity. So just like somebody said, practice make you perfect. No, it don't. Because nobody... Not an NBA shooter that's averaged 100% from the free throw line. That proves practice don't make you perfect. Practice just makes you better. Amen. So being perfect in the biblical sense, he is talking about maturity. So he says, so he gave in the book of Ephesians 4th chapter 11th verse, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. There's no comma there. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God. There it is, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more henceforth children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. May, there it is, two words, grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ, amen. So you don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, or they trying to deceive you, or they're lying in wait to deceive. But you may grow up in him who is ahead of all things, even Christ. So you won't be fooled. You know what the word of God says. Nobody's going to make a fool out of you, as people try to do. So somebody tried to do that with me, sent me a link on Facebook, thought they were going to bamboozle me. Told me about some parable about a lettuce that some bishop said. Can't fool me, too late. So I fired back, I don't care who he is, what he said. You ain't got to sow like you got to sow into that, trying to hustle me and to pimp me. Oh, no, the lilies don't even sow, and he provides for them. So that is a lie. They keep trying to hustle people out of their money, telling you got to plant a seed. That is a lie out of hell. And they can take that lie back to hell. You ain't got to plant no seed. All God requires is the tithe and a free will offering in your home church. People need to wake up and stop getting hustled by these people. Because like somebody said, the blessing plan really works. They get the blessing and you get the plan. So you can't, people got to wake up and stop letting people make a fool out of them. So that's what I'm intending to do, is to tell on the devil. Amen. You don't have to be hustled and pimped in the church. It's not God's will. And so that's what they have done. They have, like Peter said, made merchandise of you. So that's what people are doing. Keep talking about my ministry. No, it's not your ministry. It's the ministry. Amen. He didn't say go sing the gospel to every creature. He said go preach it. These people are making platinum records and albums, and families are reaping in money. And God didn't call them. He didn't go to Calvary and die for them to get rich off of singing and giving each other awards and Grammys. Oh, yeah. They're going to get this Stellar Award. They're going to get that. God didn't do that. Man done that. Grammy and all these different awards. They're crowning themselves queens and kings. I'm the king of this. I'm the queen of that. You ain't nothing. You need to get right with God and do it now. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And so God can fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives utterance. You need to repent. And that's what it's all about. That's what the church is about. Like John the Baptist came on the scene. He preached the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him. And who is that? He That is on Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote, when he wrote to Timothy, his son, in the gospel, he said he came to save sinners, and he said, I'm chief. I'm chief among sinners. So that's why he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen at 500 brethren, and the most of them, Apostle Paul was saying, some have fallen asleep. He was seen above 500 brethren at once. Amen. After his resurrection from the dead. But we thank God for his word. So that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to get you to think. Amen. Not at getting all emotional. Sure, it's good. It's good to be emotional, especially you know you got what you got. You can, like I say, I can be get blessed, and I can scream later. I ain't got to tell it. I can keep some things you got to keep to yourself. Can't tell everything that God does for you, or every your vehicle that you may receive a blessing, be it whatever it is, or it's the favor of God in the situation. You can't tell everything. You got to make sure you got it first. You can't tell somebody about something that you have not received. So that's the problem with the world. That's the problem with the so-called nominal church. They just and these so-called preachers that make you feel good. That's this is a straight gate. He says straight is the gate, and wide narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few be there that enter in thereat, because narrow is the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in there at. So that's not necessarily God. Just because somebody's got a mega congregation, they're trying to make everybody feel good. So they will make you feel good too. That emotional, because it's emotion and hype. That music and the organ and the choir get to singing, and they're doing all of this. But the question is, are they worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, is the question. So that's what we are endeavoring to do, is to let you know about the perfect law of liberty, letting you know, like we always try to say, that the word of God has to be rightly divided. So you'll get the, you make a cake, you got to put all the right ingredients in there to make it, and the right amount of the right ingredients. So the word of God, you can't do violence to the scriptures, but you got to, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, when he wrote to his son Timothy, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly, how you going to do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is what you have to do. So we encourage you, as we have said, we posted our number, 646-716-6566, so that you can do just that, because we're just kind of giving a recap, and we never can say enough. And people don't understand. We don't necessarily have to stay in the book of Ephesians to say that we're not in it, because the word of God is everywhere. Amen. Like I said, he's everywhere in every place. And so that's the mystery, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So that's why Apostle Paul was saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And he said, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why he went on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So that's the office that he's working out of now, is the sonship. So we thank God on today. So that's just a little recap. What's your appetite? So we are blessed today to have our historian in the house. No, he's a very busy man. He's an educator, and he's pretty busy. So we thank God when he's able to be with us on this broadcast, and he is on today. So we're going to give you into the hands of none other than our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be back once again. I know it's been pretty sparse, my comings and goings, but I am glad to be able to make it this week.
Yeah.
My schedule has not allowed me to be here for the past month or so. So, finishing out the book of Ephesians, we were we talked a couple weeks ago about the sixth chapter and talked about the armor of God, and finished out that sixth chapter last week. And we're just doing a recap of the book overall. So we were just going to go, I was just going to do a summary of all the chapters, if time allows. I was just going to do a summary of the chapters, because you can, by looking at the sum of all the chapters and all the parts that go along in Ephesians, you can take those chapters and take those subjects, because there's a lot of different subjects that are involved in the book of Ephesians, although it's, we'll say it's a mid-sized one of Paul's epistles. It is a fairly short epistle compared to epistles such as Romans or 1st and 2nd Corinthians. However, there is a whole lot of meat,
yes,
within the verses in Ephesians that 1st and 2nd Corinthians does not really deal with. They're dealing with more milk issues and correction issues. But Ephesians talks a lot about mysteries, and especially the mystery of the church and the purpose of us. So just going in a recap, the first chapter, after his salutation, Paul begins to talk about the different the predestination and the adoption that goes along with it, and having the earnest of our inheritance being the Holy Ghost within us, and talks about being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he's just beginning to set up this mystery. It's his introduction to the mystery of God through the church.
Yeah.
He talks about having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Who's the us? And this is a very important word within the book of Ephesians, is us. You have to understand who the us is talking about. It's talking about the church, those that were born again of water and of the Spirit. And anybody who does not fit in that category cannot label themselves as an us, but they are, he is talking to people that are of like birth.
Yeah.
Talking to brothers and sisters in the Lord, talking to people that have been indeed born again through the spiritual birth or the new birth experience,
yeah,
baptism and being filled with the Holy Ghost. So he made known unto us, he made known unto the church the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, and which he has purpose in himself, and he made that the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together all in one all things in Christ. So this is his introduction into the mystery, and he goes on to further explain the mystery in subsequent chapters. And going into the second chapter, he begins to talk about the Gentiles' place within the mystery. We know that in times past, as he starts off in the beginning, in times past, you were dead with trespasses and sins, and that there was no hope for a Gentile. Now, there's two, according to God, there's two categories of people.
Yes.
Either you are a Jew or you're a Gentile.
Yeah.
And up until the death of Jesus Christ, the only ones that were allowed into the covenant or into a agreement or fellowship with God was the Jews. the only way that a Gentile could make himself open to the covenant is be inserted into or grafted into the body of Israel by taking on circumcision and taking on the law and becoming what is known as a proselyte. And they were indeed inserted into the covenant. But now, God had, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he now opened up salvation unto all men.
Yeah.
Just turning really quickly to the book of Acts, in Paul's sermon to the Athenians, he told them that in the 30th verse, at the times of this ignorance, God has winked at or overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Those times that he is talking about is turning the Godhead into a graven image and worshiping idols.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter number 17, verse number 30, he is overlooked or winked at these transgressions that have happened, but now he commandeth all men, not
mm-hmm.
just Jews anymore,
mm-hmm.
but all men everywhere to repent. So he has made an invite unto all men. When I use the term men, I mean man and woman,
yeah.
mankind.
Yeah.
All men, anybody who hears the voice, anybody who hears the gospel and is pricked in their heart, he is inviting you to come to him, and he is now giving you a hope.
Mm-hmm.
We were a people that had no hope. We had no hope whatsoever because we had no connection, no fellowship, no covenant with God. Looking at the 11th verse in the second chapter of Ephesians, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." You were without Christ at one time. He's speaking to people, once again, that are in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying that you, although you're in the body of Christ, there was a time when you were just known as a Gentile.
Yeah.
You were uncircumcised in your flesh, even though you're now circumcised in your heart. If we weren't looking after hearts before, we were looking after the flesh and attributing that to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And you were without Christ. That means you were without hope because Christ is the hope of our glory. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we were being aliens from the commonwealth or the nation of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That means you were without Christ. You were without God in your life. God had no promises for you. But I thank God for this word, but,
yes.
in verse number 13.
Yes.
But now, those were times past. That was a time past where I had no hope and that I had no way of reaching God with my transgressions. I had no way of reaching God when I was crying out. I had no way of reaching God when I needed help. But now,
yes.
oh, what a difference a
yes.
time can make.
Yes.
Or what a difference a verse can make.
Mm-hmm.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are now made nigh or close or drawn close to God by the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is our peace, who has made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In the old times of the temple, there was what was called the court of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles could only go so far in their worship of God, but they could not go beyond that wall. But what Jesus Christ did, he was able to break down the wall of partition when it comes to worship, and everybody is now able to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer need a temple. We no longer need the temple of Solomon. We no longer need the temple of Herod. We no longer need those physical buildings any longer. The temple is now within us.
Yeah.
We worship God within our hearts. We worship God in the congregation of his people, and he dwells in the midst of his people. We are just like the children of Israel walking around in the wilderness. He came down in the midst of them into the tent, but now he comes down in the midst of us wherever we gather ourselves. And any time of the day, even, we are able to worship God,
mm-hmm.
and we are able to raise up our hands and give him glory,
yeah.
and give him honor and give him praise at any time we may feel like it. We no longer have to go into a building that is labeled as the temple. We no longer have to go into synagogues, which God never did ordain.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that the religious Jews had came up with over the course of time, after their scattering from captivity. But we are now able to worship freely, and to add emphasis on this, we'll go to Hebrews the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter in the 14th verse, it
mm-hmm.
says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens,
mm-hmm.
Jesus the Son of God, he is our high priest,
mm-hmm.
let us hold fast our profession." So we no longer have a high priest after the order of Aaron, but we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek,
mm-hmm.
which Jesus Christ took on that role. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When the high priest would put on his garments and would go and offer a sin offering for the people, you could not touch him. But now he is our high priest has gone in and offered,"
mm-hmm.
when he first appeared unto Mary at the beginning of the first day or the third day after his death, he said, "Don't touch me,
mm-hmm.
for I have not yet ascended." But he did ascend, and he did make that offering, and then he came back. And they could freely touch him. They could touch him at any time. And you can touch him at
yeah.
any time with your prayers.
Yeah.
Amen? You can lay your burdens on him.
Mm-hmm.
As the scripture goes, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and
mm-hmm.
I will give you rest. Take on my yoke. My yoke is easy.
Mm-hmm.
My burden is light." So now we can take on his burden and put our burdens upon him. That's what he did when he hung upon the crosses. He took all of our burdens and hung them there. He took all of our infirmities and hung on the cross, and they were nailed. All the principalities and were nailed upon that cross. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore come boldly." When that high priest used to come, or the priest used to go into worship, and they used to go into the sanctuary, they were going in there trembling. They were going in there with fear because they did not know if they were truly going to be accepted in their worship. They did not truly know if they were going to be accepted with their sacrifice. They did not truly know if they were coming in properly. And in the case of Nadab and Abihu, they started offering up strange fire because they were drunk within the sanctuary. They did not come in with the proper order that they were supposed to, that God had laid out for Moses and Aaron, and they went in out of order, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they were struck down. So every high priest would go in there and would be fearful for being struck down because it was a throne of judgment. But now we can go boldly. That means we can go with full confidence
mm-hmm.
in the high priest that went in for us. We can go boldly unto that throne because it's no longer a throne of judgment in our case, but it is now a throne of grace.
Yeah.
And that we have grace and mercy on our side, and that grace will allow us to walk forward in him, and grace, as long as we stay under it, will give us the power to abstain from all of those sins that we are tempted with. Amen?
Amen.
and that we may have obtained mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So that's why we are able to go boldly, because we're no longer looking for just a pass for a year, but we can go looking for mercy and grace to help us in our times of need.
Yeah.
So we are now free to worship him. We have boldness in our worship because we have a high priest that is an advocate for us. So now he broke down that middle wall and abolished all that. So that now that there's no distinction between races, there's no distinction between socioeconomic status, there's no distinction between gender, there's no distinction between any of those factors that may affect our natural relationships with one another, but we're all one in Christ. And all those walls of division and separation are torn down in Christ. We just, over the course of time, have rebuilt them by our own prejudice.
Yeah.
So we have to follow after the example of Christ. He's the one that tore down those walls. We have to continue to tear down those walls. Even in these last and evil days, we cannot allow division and separation to drive us apart and drive us into religiosity, for a lack of a better word, and getting into what our status quo may be. Amen. So we have to be builded together, as he finishes out that chapter, in whom we are builded together for an habitation of God. We have to remember we're a habitation of God, and God should be able to dwell in the midst of his people. But he can't dwell in confusion.
No,
he can't dwell in strife. He can't dwell in things that are not like him.
Right.
He dwells in order. He dwells in peace. He dwells in unity. And we're going to skip the third chapter real quick, but talking about those unities, there was some things that Paul told the Ephesians to keep. And he says in the fourth chapter, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I earnestly am asking you I'm begging you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." If you are called, you are a chosen one of God, amen, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring," that means earnestly journeying, letting no obstacles stand in your way. You have to keep on journeying and moving, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You have to work hard to keep unity. It's one of those things. You have to work hard to keep it in the bond of peace. The way that unity is kept together, the glue to unity is peace.
Yeah.
That's what is the bond of peace.
Yeah.
That's how you keep unity within your ranks, is by having peace within your ranks. But if you have nothing but strife and division and hatred between one another, that's not peace. That's what brings separation. That's what brings division. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of strife. God is not the author of any of those things. The devil, that stuff is devilish.
Yeah.
The book of James tells us.
Yeah.
Those types of things are devilish. But God works in order. God is a God of order. And he starts laying out the order of the unity. There is one body. There's only one church in this earth today. And you have to compare your beliefs in the Bible and compare it to that early church, because it is the same church as in the day of Pentecost. And if your doctrine does not match up to the doctrine of that early church, you are not part of that one body. Amen? And in one Spirit. There's only one Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You can't have more than one Spirit. Amen. So those that say that there's three distinct persons within the Godhead, saying that there's the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost, saying that there's three distinct persons. A person is someone that has a body, a soul, and a spirit. So to say that you have three persons, you are saying that there's three bodies.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But we read that there's one body. You're saying that there's three spirits. There's only one spirit.
Yeah.
That means that there's something wrong with the doctrine of the Trinity. There's only one God. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only one in that God. The Godhead is, there's only one person in the Godhead.
Yeah.
And that person is the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Even as ye are called in one hope. We only have one hope, and Jesus Christ is that hope of your calling. The coming of Jesus Christ to take the church out of this earth is our one hope. There's one Lord, Jesus, one faith. Our faith is in Jesus. That means there's one church, one group of believers that believe in Jesus Christ as being the one Lord, and one baptism. There's so many different modes of baptism in this day and age, but there's only one that God counts as being valid.
Yeah.
There's only one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God should be in you. And if God the Father is not in you, how is God the Father in you? The Holy Ghost is the Father.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the Father. Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ should be in you. The Holy Ghost should be in you. The Father should be in you. And he's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to the world at this point.
Right.
So those three are one. Amen? How are they one? They are one spirit. And there's three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. They agree in one.
Yeah.
How do they agree in one? In one baptism.
Yes.
So we know that there's only oneness when it comes to God. There's not three.
Right.
You can't split God into three. There's only one.
Yes. Let me say something right quick. I've just been reading through, so I'm in the book of Leviticus, and you see all of those offerings that they had to make, and they had to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And the call of the different animals and the ashes and all the stuff they had to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christ has become our offering once and for all. The Bible says he has appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came in the volume of the book. He is the sin offering.
Amen.
That he forever made the sin offering once in the end of the world. There's no more sin offering.
Amen.
So that's why he's our great high priest. Just like he just read, that's why he said that we could come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. They were offerings, the same offerings, more than once.
Amen.
Now we don't have to do that no more.
Amen.
By the body of Jesus Christ.
So he's the sin offering,
yes.
The trespass offering,
yes.
The wave offering. He's that red heifer. He's,
yes,
the scapegoat. He is all of those things.
Yes.
He fulfilled all of those,
yes,
types and shadows,
yes,
in his sacrifice upon the cross.
Right, as the Son of God.
And in his offering, see, when he offered himself, he was the Son.
Yes.
Amen. He offered himself as the Son or the Lamb of God.
Yes.
When he rose again as the high priest. It's the same one that died,
yes,
but he rose again in a different office,
yes,
or in a different position. And then when he offered as the great high priest or the Holy Ghost in making intercession, he sat upon the throne. Yet and still he offered himself, yet and still he was the sacrifice. He sat upon the throne and accepted the offering that he was offering, and he offered himself. Amen?
Yes, yes. And just like what's going to happen, he's carrying lambs in his bosom.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Lamb of God. When he come back, like the writer said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming back as a lamb of the tribe of Judah.
Uh-huh.
He's coming back to fight.
Amen.
That's a fierce a symbol, a lion, is the king of beasts.
Amen. And when John saw that lion of the tribe of Judah, he saw him as the lion of the tribe of Judah sitting upon the throne.
Yes.
But then he looked, when he could find no man to open the book that the lion of the tribe of Judah was holding,
yes,
he looked again and saw a lamb standing up. So,
yes,
the same one that was sitting on the throne stood up and said, I'll be the lamb to be able to open the seals of the book.
Right. That's what he said, Lord, in the midst of the throne. So he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. He took it from himself.
Yeah. So
he's God.
He just passed it from one hand to the other.
Exactly. He's God all by himself. Just like he said. He said, I created all these things by myself. He asked the question in the book of Isaiah, is there a God beside me? The answer is no.
No, there
is. Is there a God before me? The answer is no. Is there a God with me? The answer is no. Is there a God after me? The answer is no.
And Isaiah said that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess to God.
Yeah.
But then in Colossians, Paul says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So Isaiah couldn't reveal the name of Jesus because it wasn't the time for that name to be revealed.
Exactly.
But Paul revealed who the name that they were going to bow down to, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen.
And but the only thing Isaiah said, he made it plain. He said, he's Emmanuel.
Amen.
And so the interpretation is God with us.
God with us.
So Matthew just brought it all out.
Exactly. So we have to understand who God is so we see that plainly in the fourth chapter, the unity that is needed, and we as the habitation of God, being where God dwells, need to continue to have unity. But we want to go back into the third chapter, being that we skipped over. We want to finish out this summary.
Yes.
In the third chapter of Ephesians, he said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
Yeah.
And he begins to unfold this mystery of how there's unsearchable riches in that in the ages to come, we shall be searching out those mysteries.
Yeah.
And that he gave to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold or the many wisdom that goes in all different directions, the wisdom of God that cycles itself throughout the body of Christ. And that he has given that, he has bestowed that upon the church.
Yes.
And he is making known the mystery of love and mystery of the family of God. And for this cause, in verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Mm-hmm.
We are all named after Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We are all named. We all have that name bore upon us.
Yes.
Amen. When we take on the baptism in his name, he actually seals us with that name. So now we have that name upon us, and that's how he knows us, through that name.
Yes.
Amen. He can never say that he never knew me, because I bear his name. I'm now the one that comes in his name. But those ones that come in Matthew 7 saying, Lord, Lord, we have done all these great works.
Mm-hmm.
He tells them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
I never knew you. Mm-hmm.
How did he not know them? Because they never had his name.
Yeah.
So he begins to reveal the mystery of the church, and he begins to reveal what types of blessings the church has been bestowed with. And then as we go forward into the fourth chapter, he talks about the ministry and talks about the order of ministry and the gifts that were given to the ministry, to the body, which is the ministry.
Yes.
And it was a gift given by Christ.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to talk about how we should walk as believers, how we should walk as his children, how should we walk as Christians, that we should walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, verse 17, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance of them that is through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. But ye have not learned so in Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, put off that former conversation. Put off that old man. Be renewed in your spirit and in your mind. Ye put on a new man, and be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So he's given instructions on how they should behave themselves and how they should communicate with one another and how they should conduct themselves when it comes to their daily lives. And he continues that within the fifth chapter. And then in the fifth chapter, he reveals another mystery when it deals with the husband and the wife. And that relationship, it is a special relationship, more special than any other relationship on this earth. It's even more special than a child has with his mother. The husband and the wife is supposed to be pure love, pure adoration for one another, and that the husband should love their wives and the wives should submit to their husbands, and you should submit one to another, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. This is, I'm now in the fifth chapter, around the 23rd verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, not anybody else's husband,
right.
Just your own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he reveals this mystery that he's talking about this thing, he's talking about this relationship and talking about how you should love one another, but he says, verse number 32, verse number 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak not about just a husband and a wife.
Right.
I'm not just speaking about a man and a woman coming together. I'm speaking about Christ and the church.
Yes.
And that this, if you relate that back to Adam and Eve, when God opened up the side of Adam and brought Eve out of his side from his rib, just as the church was opened up out of the side of Christ, when that soldier pierced Christ in his side and outpoured blood and water. That blood and water was indicative of what we go through as believers in that new birth experience by having the blood within the water in baptism. And that he loved us so much that he gave himself for us. And that that is the type of love that a husband and a wife should have, because this is the love that Christ had for you and I.
Yeah.
And that we are going to be the bride of Christ as a collective church. The church will be the one that will actually sit on the right hand of God. Amen. We will be in the place of power. We will be with him in his throne. We will be connected with him forever. For eternity, we will spend with God in holiness. And that this is what he's preparing us for in this earth today, so that we may be presented blameless, without spot or blemish.
Yeah.
So then, as it goes on, he starts talking about the fight that we have in the sixth chapter, and that we should continue to fight that we may be good soldiers, that we may be people that are fighting for the faith. As Jude says, we are contending for the faith.
Yeah.
And we have to continually contend as long as we're in this body. We have to fight the good fight. And the way that we fight the good fight is putting on the armor of God. And we went through all the pieces of that armor and talked about the prayer that goes along with bearing the armor. And that we should not, through any tests or trials or persecutions that we may go through, we should not give up that fight, but we should continue to fight and put on Christ on ourselves, and that he may uphold us and that he may protect us. Amen? So, and then he closes out with his benediction that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. How did he make known the mystery of the gospel? By preaching that mystery unto those that are ignorant of the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he's having correspondence with them through this brother, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. You have to have faith with your love.
Mm-hmm.
From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a quick recap of what we spoke about in the book of Ephesians. I know Elder Cannon probably addressed it earlier, but you can always recap any of our shows via on demand, and you can catch up on all those in detail. I know I went fairly quickly through this, because of our time constraints, but you can always go back via on demand and listen to the breakdown of these scriptures,
yeah,
chapter by chapter, and see in more detail and more in depth of what was discussed on this evening.
Yeah.
On that, we will close out. We have to kind of discuss where we're going to go from here. So we'll keep you posted on that. Stay tuned to see where we will go next. I'm sure it will be an enjoyable place to go, because there's nothing but good word in this book,
yeah,
that we should follow after every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
And we are going to endeavor to find which word we should go after next. Amen?
Amen.
On that note, we will close out, and hopefully you have a blessed week. Stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.